Welcome to Coffin Cast episode 8. My name is Kristen. Hi guys, hope your week was good. Mine was busy, so needless to say, the website is still not done as of Sunday evening. I hope I sound a little bit different. Do I sound different? I don't know. I'm hoping I do. I hope I sound more professional because I got a mic, y'all. I got a mic that is meant for podcasting, so hopefully it sounds good. Wasn't very expensive, so my hopes are not too high, but I'm cautiously optimistic that it sounds better for you guys than some cheapy Apple earbuds. No offense, Apple, they're great earbuds, but I don't know that they're meant for podcasting. I thought they sounded pretty good, but I was told by a few people, hey, you know, when you're ready, you do need to get a better mic. So here we are. Also, I want to put out there that I am still considering doing a co-hosting situation on this podcast because I think it would be more fun for me because no one likes to hear them. Well, that's not true. A lot of people don't like to hear themselves talk for 40 minutes or whatever, give or take, because it's lonely. I'm talking into the ether here by myself. So if you're interested in that, go to anchor.fm and find my page, my CoffinCast page, and there you'll be able to leave a voice message. You can just talk about some kind of story in the same ilk of what we do here, or if you have an idea for a story that kind of fits, but I haven't done anything like it yet, definitely give it to me, man, because I'd like to talk with other people. Even if you just want to do it for a one-time thing, that would be fine as well. Just hit me up, let me know. And if we have a good rapport, we'll go from there. Also, like your opinion on something. I don't know if I'm going to get it, but I would like it. I'm considering moving the release date to either beginning of the week, midweek. Haven't decided yet because again, it's Sunday night as of right now. I put out an episode Friday this week, an episode I was pretty proud of. I haven't gotten one listen. Now, I'm trying to be not down about it, but also I'm trying to be like, okay, here's how I listen to podcasts. I listen at work. I listen in my car on the way to work. I don't listen to them at home or anything, so it's the weekend. I'm thinking people are probably not listening over the weekend because I don't listen on the weekend, except for I work Sunday, so I listen when I'm working, but that's neither here nor there. So I'm trying to be like, okay, well, if people are not listening over the weekend, maybe for my own peace of mind, I need to release it Sunday night, Monday night, or even midweek on Wednesday. I haven't figured that out yet. I would like some opinions on it. Because it would help me help you. Help me help you. But it would help me out to know what you guys are interested in, all four of you, or however many there are of you still out there. Just let me know, and I'll try to figure out what to do from there. Also, last but not least, we have an episode to do, don't we? Here I am just blathering on, but we've got a whole episode. So this week we're doing something different than the usual. That's usually a recipe for disaster. If you've heard the dumpster fire episode, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you can just bypass it. It's stupid. But I think it's in the same wheelhouse of what I normally do, but it's going to be a little bit different in that it's broken up into several stories instead of just one. But they all fall in line with one subject. So this week, we are doing strange and unusual deaths. I had some ideas this week, and I'm like, you know, after my Treece Richardson story, I need to kind of do a palate cleanser like I did the one time, but hopefully something better. So I was Googling strange and unusual deaths. I came on the wiki page for them. And there's a whole neat table of what, you know, it has the person's name, I think the date, and then a short little blurb about what they did. But it also has the link to Wikipedia pages for that specific person if they were Wikipedia worthy. Most of them were, so lucky me. I hit jackpot. A lot of them were really, really, some of them were really funny, some of them were kind of stupid. So I'm of course not going to read off hundreds of these weird deaths, but I picked a select few. The ones that I think you would enjoy, ones that I found kind of funny or entertaining or kind of weird, and one of them kind of got to me a little bit, and I think you'll know which one. I haven't thought of a title for this episode. I'm kind of just winging it because I wanted to try out the microphone and get going, you know, so that I'm prepared for the week in case anything pops up that'll make me not be able to work on it. So I guess we're going to call this Kristen's Curated List of Strange and Unusual Deaths. That is a little redundant. How about Kristen's Curated List of Strange and Amusing Deaths? Strange and Unusual sounded better, didn't it? Kristen's Curated List of Strange and Unusual Deaths. Yeah, we'll just go with that because I like the way that sounds better. It rolls off the tongue a little bit better. So let's get started. Let's get started. So first, we're going to go with the first ever reported weird death in history. And that's the death of Draco. So Draco was born sometime around 650 BCE, so long time ago. Not a lot of scroll surviving from that time about this guy, but his death was weird enough that it kind of survived throughout history. First of all, like I do with my other episodes, I try to get a feel for who the person was before they passed away. Can't really do that with Draco because there's not a lot out there. All that we know is that he was the first democratically elected lawmaker of Athens. He was supposedly from nobility, but there's no way to really know. It's just in what I read, it basically says possibly born from nobility. Either way, he was a lawmaker. He was from Athens. He was the first. Also, draconian law, that saying or that word comes from his name because his laws were pretty harsh compared to the crime. So there's something new you learned today. Draconian laws were named for the first Athens lawmaker named Draco. Good stuff to know. So there's many ways to die in ancient Greece when you're a lawmaker. You know, there's the stabbing, there's poisoning, there's putting vipers in their bed and doing that kind of thing, stepping on their cloak and choking them. So how did Draco die? He actually died from an overabundance of affection. Now you may be going, Kristen, that's not possible. Well, let me tell you about it. So, he was at an Agnaton, I think that's how you pronounce it, Agnaton Theater. And I don't know the exacts about it, of course, because, again, 650 BCE, not a lot out there. But he was a liked guy for some reason. Even though his laws were harsh, he was a pretty well-liked guy. So, as was the custom in ancient Greece at a theater, when you appreciated a job well done or you respected someone, you would throw your cloak to them. For kind of a modern comparison, like let's say you're at a, what, Justin Bieber concert. I don't know who the teen idols are these days. I'm old. So you're at a Justin Bieber concert and girls are throwing bras on the stage. It's in that same wheelhouse. So people would throw cloaks onto him. And when they ran out of their cloaks, they were throwing their hats. They were throwing everything at him. And this was a big theater. So imagine a lot of cloaks coming at this guy. He was literally drowning in cloaks. And when I say drowning in cloaks, I mean literally drowning in cloaks. He suffocated under the weight of the affections of the people of Athens. I mean, in hindsight, it's good to know that you're loved, but you don't want to die for being loved, I guess. I don't know. But that's Draco's story. He was smothered by cloaks, hats, all sorts of clothing. So he died from too much love. Now we're going to move on to another fella from ancient Greece. And I'm not trying to make this all about ancient Greece, but they had some good ones. They had a lot more, but I was going to go with the two that I liked the best. So we're going with Chrysippus of Soli. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. He was a philosopher, and he was born around 279 BCE. So he's pretty far after good old Draco's time. He was known as a real up-and-comer go-getter in the school of Stoicism. He was very independent, and he liked to figure out things on his own without being micromanaged or having somebody over his shoulder. He is quoted as saying, "Give me the principles, and I will find the proofs myself." So he ended up taking over the school of Stoicism, excuse me, when his teacher died. He became the head of that school of learning. He also was a prolific writer, wrote 750 works, some of which have survived, not a lot of them. Again, we're in BCE times. He would take up one thing that people really appreciated about him, but also noticed it was kind of a compulsion of his. When he was writing an argument, he would also take the other side of the argument as well and research it to death. So that way he could cover all his bases, make sure he was giving people the full effect of whatever he was talking about. So kind of a serious guy there. So how did good old Chrysippus die? Chrysippus died from laughing at his own joke. I feel like this is the way I would like to go if I have to go suddenly. Because can you imagine dying of laughter? That's a good way to go, if you ask me. So, what was so funny? In these times, I guess it wouldn't be that funny. Back then, it was probably hilarious because, I mean, what did they have to compare it to? Anyway, so good old Chrysippus was out with a bowl of figs, and this donkey comes up to him and starts eating his figs. And that made him laugh. So he said, and quote, "Now give the donkey a drink of pure wine to wash down the figs." He thought his own joke was so funny that he became overcome with laughter, couldn't stop laughing until he finally just keeled over and died. Could have been a heart thing, whatever. But the guy was laughing at his own jokes, and he just died. Good way to go, if you ask me. All right, so now we're moving on, excuse me, to medieval times. Strange deaths weren't just for lawmakers or philosophers or random people. They also happened to kings, and quite often they did happen to kings. From looking at the Wikipedia list of unusual deaths, there's a lot of royalty on there. So we're talking about, this time we're talking about Louis III of France. Louis III had a very troubled rise to the throne, for lack of a better way of putting it. His parents were married in secret, so a lot of people questioned his legitimacy. He had cousins that were like, "No, the throne's mine because you're not legitimate, you're a bastard," all this stuff. So he had to fight them. He also had to fight Vikings that were invading France. He actually succeeded in driving Vikings out of France, and that endeared him to the people, and then he finally rose to the throne in 879 AD. He was only 18 years old at this time, so he was a young king, bachelor, handsome guy from the paintings, I guess, if that's your thing. He was a good-looking guy. And he was a king, so basically, homeboy thought that he could get whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted it. So he saw this girl, this pretty girl, likely had good birthing hips, a nice rack, you know, guys like that, right? I don't know. So he's trying to, you know, get this girl's attention, like, hey, baby, I like your corset, your head thing. I don't know what they wore back then. We'll go with corset. And she's like, not having it. Even though he is a king, she's like, nope, I'm not doing this. So she runs to go to her father's home to get refuge. Well, good old Louis's like, this girl's mine. So he jumps on his horse, and as he's riding out of a stable, he smacks his head on a low-hanging door and falls to the ground and fractures his skull. That, gentleman, is why you don't catcall people. You could fracture your freaking head and die. So Vikings couldn't take out this dude. His cousins couldn't take him out. But he was taken out by a teenage girl that was not interested in him. Kind of a sad way to go. Let's move on to early modern periods. So we're going to start in the 1700s with a pretty well-known playwright and actor named Molière. You've probably heard of him. He gave everything to his craft, literally. So he was working on stage in a play called The Imaginary Invalid, and it's a play about a hypochondriac. He wrote the play. He was also playing the lead as the hypochondriac. A lot of people didn't know at this time that my 4 years of French are going out the window. Molière had tuberculosis. As he was getting on in years, it was getting worse, and at this time in his life, it was getting really, really bad. So he was on stage playing the hypochondriac, and he was at a point in the play where he had to collapse and pretend to die to find out how his wife truly felt about him. So it was as if on cue, he starts having a terrible coughing fit. He starts hemorrhaging from his lungs, and he collapses on stage. He was able to get whisked off stage, of course, because it was perfect timing in the play. So he's like, no, I have to finish the play. I have to finish the play. So they got him to a point where he could continue on with the play. Most of the rest of the play, he's pretending to be dead anyway, so it works out. So he goes back on stage. After a little bit of the play goes on, he starts coughing and hemorrhaging again. Again, it's at the point of the play where it's supposed to happen. So, people were none the wiser that he was actually dying at this point, except for his wife, who was playing his daughter on stage. So she was like, enough's enough, play ended. She and a few of the actors took him across the street to his home, and they were trying to find a priest to give him his last rites. This is a big deal because in this time period, actors were considered unholy and could not be buried on sacred ground. And it was very important for Molière, to him anyway, to be buried on sacred ground. So they tried to get some priests. Two of them refused because they didn't want to deal with an actor. And the final one couldn't make it in time. So he died without getting his last rites. His wife petitioned King Louis XIV at the time, who knew Molière, was kind of friendly with him, and he agreed to let him be buried in the area of a church graveyard that was meant for unbaptized children. Later on, he ended up being buried at Père Lachaise Cemetery, you know, where Jim Morrison is. A lot of famous people from French history are buried there. Also, kind of a weird aside, just strange aside, he was having a long, long-running affair with a very famous actress at that time, Madeleine Bergeart, we'll say. Like I said, my French 4 years gone out the window. He ended up marrying her daughter Armand, but that didn't seem to end the affair. They kept this affair going, so he was basically having an affair with his mother-in-law. Kind of gross. Actually, the two of them were similar in age, where her daughter was like significantly younger, so interesting little aside. So let's move on to the 1800s now. So we meet a lawyer named Clement Valdigham. I'm not pronouncing that right because it's a very long last name. So Clement was a lawyer, but he was also on the state of representatives for Ohio. He was among the Democrats that really weren't into the idea of the Civil War. So he ended up going on trial with other said Democrats, and they actually got exiled to the South, to Confederate lines, because they didn't agree to the war. Clement presented himself to Jefferson Davis and said, "Here, I'm a war prisoner. Take me. I'm not going to fight for you. I'm not fighting for the North either. Just take me as a war prisoner." So when the Civil War ended, he was excused. Everything was fine. He went back to Ohio and became a trial lawyer. So he was working defending this man who had allegedly shot another man in the stomach during a barroom brawl. Clement argued that the man who died had done so by his own hand, with his gun discharging by accident. So to prove his point, Clement got the gun and demonstrated how this could happen with an unloaded gun. You know, he's not going to go up there and shoot himself with a loaded gun, right? Yeah, he did. It was actually loaded. They didn't know there was one in the chamber, and he ended up shooting himself in the stomach and dying on the courtroom floor. The good part about this is the man proved that his client was innocent by doing this. He had to die to get his client acquitted. So, the man was acquitted, but sadly enough, 4 years later, that man ended up being shot in a barroom brawl. Go figure. Now we're onward to 1902. This story is unfair. It's sad. Probably because it's an elephant. It's an animal rather than a person. So we're going to talk about Topsy the elephant. You may have heard of Topsy. You may have seen what happened to Topsy. I don't recommend watching it, even though it is 1902, so it's grainy, but it's unfortunate. It was filmed by the Edison Company, but let's get into exactly who Topsy was and what exactly happened to her to give her a strange death. So Topsy was a circus elephant to start. She had a reputation as a badass bitch of an elephant. She was hard to handle. She actually killed a spectator at one point, but this guy deserved it, I think. It's hard to say that somebody deserves death. This particular guy kind of did. So he was a drunk. He wandered into the menagerie tent of this circus. He was bugging all the animals, teasing them, throwing whiskey in their face, offering them whiskey, trying to be funny. When he came to Topsy, offered her whiskey, she might have done something to piss him off, so he started throwing sand in her face, and then he burned her very, very sensitive trunk tip with his lit cigar. Like I said, Topsy was a badass bitch. She was not going to handle this. So she literally picked the guy up with her trunk and slammed him on the ground, then proceeded to crush him and stomp on him and hit him with her own head, trying to crush this dude, and she succeeded. Also, news outlets at the time reported that she had killed up to 12 men. News being that how it was back then, there wasn't a lot of fact-checking going on, so it's highly exaggerated number probably, but Topsy had her troubles. One incident in particular, and we can thank her handler for this, caused the end of Topsy. So her handler, William Alt, was a drunk, and he was a jerk. He was a bad guy. She was now working at this place called Luna Park, where she was supposed to be pulling an attraction ride, and she didn't want to do it. A, badass bitch. B, she doesn't want to do it. She shouldn't have to do it. So her handler, this William Alt dude, started stabbing her with a pitchfork to get her to move. He was confronted by a police officer, which is kind of surprising to me, at least for the time period. A police officer intervened. Sorry, I was adjusting if the sound went weird. The police officer intervened, and William Alt was just like, you know what, screw you, dude, and he let her loose. Very dangerous for an elephant to be loose on Coney Island at this point. So, he was ticketed, got in trouble, so he decided he's going to ride Topsy through the streets of Coney Island to the police station and have her bust through to, you know, get these guys. He's drunk, of course, but he rode her into town and tried to ride her into the police station. The reports say that Topsy tried to batter her way through the station door, and she set up, quote-unquote, a terrific trumpeting, leading the officers to take refuge in cells. So William Alt was actually fired from Luna Park because of this. Because he was fired, there was no one to really keep her in line, even though he didn't do a very good job of it. He did better than nobody being there, you know? So they were like, okay, let's try to sell her. Nobody wanted to buy her because of her reputation, thanks to the papers. So they're like, okay, we gotta put her down then. So, being money hungry, they were like, wait, we need to recoup some of our money. She wasn't cheap. I imagine elephants even back then weren't, like, going for a buck a piece. So it was decided that she was going to be publicly executed, and they were going to charge admission for it. So the day of, 1,500 people showed up, and it was going to be filmed. She was supposed to be electrocuted in a lagoon that was in the middle of the park so that everybody could see it. But the day of, Topsy was like, it's like she knew something was going on, and she refused to budge from her spot on this bridge before she was supposed to be pushed into the lagoon. So she wouldn't move. So they decided, quote unquote, they were going to bring death to her. I'm going to read this directly from the wiki to make sure I have everything correct and make sure that you have all the information. So the steam engine ropes and electrical lines were re-rigged to the spot where Topsy stood. The electrician, attached copper line sandals connected to the AC lines of Topsy's right forefoot and left hind foot so the charge would flow through the elephant's body, with Chief Electrician Sharky making sure everyone was clear. Topsy was fed carrots laced with 460 grams of potassium cyanide by press agent Charles Murray, who then backed away. At 2:45, Sharky gave the signal, and an electrician on a telephone told the superintendent at Coney Island Station, 9 blocks away, to close a switch, and Luna Park Chief Electrician Hugh Thomas closed another one at the park, sending 6,600 volts from Bay Ridge across Topsy's body for 10 seconds, toppling her to the ground. According to at least one contemporary account, she died without a trumpet or a groan. After Topsy fell, the steam-powered winch tightened two nooses around her neck for 10 minutes. At 2:47, Topsy was pronounced dead. So it needs to be said that her death was also filmed by the Edison Company. There's a lot of surviving footage of it. It was in a movie, I believe it's called Mr. Electricity, about the dude that perfected electrical chairs or electric chairs for executions. There's footage basically anywhere online. You can look on YouTube. I wouldn't recommend it. I saw it in the movie because I was interested in the movie itself, but it's weird. It's like you see smoke raise up, you see her body stiff, and then she just kind of collapses. It's troubling because I like elephants, and we know now what wonderful creatures they are, and it's sad to see. So that's the story of Topsy, now that I'm depressed and you're probably depressed too. All right, I've got a 4-for-1 deal for you. How about 4 deaths for the price of 1 segment? So, this story, it's sad, of course, because it's a death. But the way it happened is like, how is that even possible? Okay, so this happened in Buenos Aires, Argentina. There was a poodle named Catchy who was playing on the balcony of an apartment complex. Somehow, Catchy flew over the balcony and fell 13 floors, landing upon a 75-year-old woman named Marta Espina, who died instantly. That's crazy enough, death by a poodle. But a 46-year-old woman was walking by, and as she was crossing the street, she saw this happening. Is like, oh my god, what the heck? As she's crossing the street, a bus hits her and kills her. Now there's an unidentified man kind of just hanging back, watching this all transpire. Like, what the F is going on here? And the shock of it caused him to have a heart attack, and he died on the way to the hospital. Talk about domino effect. That's 4 for the price of 1 for you. Just a little short segment. We're making our way down the countdown towards number... Wait, no, we're not doing numbers. Just kidding. We're at 1993. We're getting closer to present day. 1993. Who was president at the time? I don't remember. I think it was George Bush. But this was in Canada, so it doesn't even count. It doesn't matter who was president, because it didn't happen in the U.S. It actually happened in Canada. This is the death of Gary Hoy. This particular death is so stupid that the man received a Darwin Award in 1996, and he was featured in the Darwin Awards movie. I haven't seen it. Maybe you have. He's played by Joseph Fiennes. Anyway, here's the story. So Gary was a law specialist in Toronto. He was also had previously gotten an engineering degree, decided not to use it, decided to go into law instead. So good old Gary was a fun guy. People liked him. He was giving a tour to articling students of the Toronto Dominion building where his office was. So they were walking around. He goes, "Hey guys, let me show you something." Kind of a hold my beer moment. What he was about to do was something that he'd done several times before. It was good for a laugh, good for loosening up a crowd. He was going to throw himself up against a plate glass window to show them the structural integrity of the building. You can guess where this is going. So He's 160 pounds, not a big guy, not a small guy, just an average guy. He's running at the glass window. He goes to bounce off of it like he usually does. The glass does not shatter, mind you. It does not shatter. What happens is the plate glass becomes loose from its frame and falls, along with Gary, 24 stories down to the road where he ends up passing. Like I said, he got a Darwin Award. I don't know how I feel about Darwin Awards, because it's kind of... that's got to be hard for the families involved, but this was a stupid way to go. So we're going to close on the most recent death, which just happens to be the strangest of them all, if you ask me. We are now at December 21st, 2013, and the death of Denver Lee St. Clair. As always, I want to talk about who he was, but there isn't a lot out there. He was born in 1955 in McLeod, Oklahoma. And to be honest, from what I've read, he doesn't sound to be like the nicest guy. His wife said that when he was drinking, he would get mean. There's a history of violence when he drank, and he had been physically abusive with his wife in the past. His daughter did say, however, he was a one-of-a-kind man who would be missed. So, always two sides to every story. Anyway, we're talking about December 21st, so let's get to that night. Denver had been drinking with his stepson at the time, Bradley Davis, who was 33 years old. He was a former Marine, and according to Brad, Denver started to badmouth him and his mother. So the verbal altercation turned into a physical altercation, and Denver supposedly threw the first punch. He hit him in the head with a TV tray, punched him a few times, and then Brad got the upper hand and knocked him over, knocking him unconscious. And then, to add insult to injury, he proceeded to give him a wedgie. Not just any wedgie, an atomic wedgie. Now, if you don't know what an atomic wedgie is, it's when you pull the underwear so hard that it goes up over the person's back and over the top of their head. Typically, it stops like around their eyebrows or something like that. But he pulled it so far that it went over his head and started to cut off circulation in his neck. So the cause of death ended up being blunt force trauma and strangulation. So Brad ended up being charged initially with first-degree murder, but he got a deal and pled guilty to first-degree manslaughter and will be spending 30 years in jail for killing a man by atomic wedgie. Alright, let's close out this episode, folks. Thanks for joining me. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was a little less heavy, a little more lighthearted, a little less sad, a little more educational. We learned where draconian laws came from. We learned about Topsy the elephant. We learned about how Moliere died. We learned a whole bunch of good things. We learned not to be a creep and not be a catcaller. You also learned that. That's the most valuable lesson here, guys and ladies, because you guys can be, ladies can be a little thirsty as well. Anyway, hit me up on Twitter at CoffinCast with a capital C, at CoffinCast, capital C. Also on Instagram at CoffinCastPod, all lowercase on that one. Not on Instagram a lot. I'm not a picture-y type of person. I have a perfect face for podcasting. So I'm kind of self-conscious. I don't do that a lot, but I'll put fun little things that I see throughout the week if I leave my house ever. I do leave my house daily to go to work, but that's about it. I don't have much of a life, guys. That's probably why I'm doing this. That night, I enjoy it. But anyway, hit me up on Twitter with any updates, corrections, any story ideas. I would love some story ideas, because I have a feeling I'm going to be running out here pretty soon. if there's a story out there that you heard a little bit about that you'd like to know more about, if you have a weird personal story, love to hear it. If you have any weird or strange death stories, it doesn't even have to necessarily be related to somebody's death, even if it's just, you know, ways that they used to bury people in old days and you've got some funny insight into that or you want to know more about it, definitely let me know. I'm thinking next week I don't know what I'm going to do next week. That's why I need your ideas. I'm thinking of a few things. I don't know if I want to go back to another story or if I want to do something more educational about when you die or when I die, because it's all going to happen to us. It happens to all of us. We can't avoid it as much as we'd like to. I may do something on that. I don't know. I really like some ideas. So if you've got some, lay them on me. I'd love to hear them. Still looking for a co-host, like I said at the beginning of the episode. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm going to hiccup for some reason. Just a random one. No, I'm not. Okay. So, yeah, let's go ahead and close out this episode. You've been listening to Coffin Cast. My name is Kristen. Thanks so much for listening. And as always, life is a dream walking. Death is going home. Stay safe out there, guys.